meeting on June 27, 2011. Appreciate each of you being with us, and look forward to any comments that you have as we go through the agenda on any of the items. Raise your hand if you do want to speak at the appropriate time, and we'll recognize you. And just come up to this mic, if you would, and state your name. That's all you need to do. And because we never know how many people are going to speak or want to speak, if you would try to hold your comments to 5 minutes, that would be great. And then we can move right on through our agenda as well. So again, thank you for being with us, and we appreciate you being here. As we begin our meeting, we'll have council prayer and also the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear God in heaven, we've entered into these chambers for our meeting, but first we want to give pause to you. Pause to thank you for our families and our friends and co-workers. Thankful, dear God, that you have given us grace and mercy and forgiveness for our sins. God, you've blessed us in so many, many ways. You've given us a great staff and many volunteers that are talented and committed to making this city one of the top places in the state and in some eyes the nation. We thank you, dear God. We ask your blessings upon all of them who serve and provide service to mankind. We ask you to continue to protect cities and families everywhere, dear Father. We also ask your blessings on family that are in need, those that have lost their jobs, those that are entering foreclosures on their homes or from dysfunctional families, and especially, dear Father, those that are incarcerated, that are trying to find their way. We ask that you allow an angel to enter their lives to guide and direct them and ease their burden. Dear God, as we discuss the business of the evening, the agenda, guide our thoughts and our hearts as we make informed decisions. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And to the Republic for which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary for the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as it is?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Under the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 13th, 2011. Any comments, discussion? If not, do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the minutes as written.
Okay. I'll second it. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimous. Under presentations, we have one this evening, a proposal by the Aiken Young Professionals for the Fifth Friday events. And we appreciate them being here. Would you raise your hand, everyone that's representing the professionals? Okay, very good. Thank you. Do you have any comments?
I do, Mayor.
Okay,
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
Thank you very much, Mayor. A couple of the members of the Aiken Young Professionals group that worked with the Aiken Chamber of Commerce had come to the office and expressed a desire to come up with a regularly occurring event in downtown Aiken, and we've discussed how the city would be able to support their efforts with, you know, items that they would need to use in order to bring these events on. Selwyn Deloach is here from the Sheriff's Department. I'm sure he's going to introduce the other folks from the Young Professionals group who are with them here tonight. the reason this idea is such a good one is that it pulls from our strategic plan in two different places where we stated and council approved in the strategic plan we wanted to have events coordinated that would bring visitors to Aiken, and then also as part of the strategic plan you stated an interest in having events that would be cross-generational. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Selwyn, so you can tell us more of the detail about the event.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. The members of our committee are here, Josh Moon from Security Federal Bank, Jason Redman and Sarah Kinney.
Could you use the mic if
yes,
it's...
Sir. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Just so we can have it on record.
Yes, sir.
We have Josh Booth, Jason Raven, and Sarah Kinney here with our committee from Aiken Young Professionals.
Joshua.
So we're going to go very quickly into the background. We had the opportunity assisting Celebrate Aiken 175th by putting on the fourth quarter event, which was showcasing Aiken's future. We did that right here in downtown Aiken, right at the Newberry Street Festival Center, and we had a very good outcome. We had about 800 in attendance, and we had local dance groups. We had local musical groups perform, most of them all young people. And it worked out to be very well for us. And we realized that there was a need in Aiken. We have a multitude of events and activities right here in Aiken that go for different generations, but we have very few events that actually engage the entire cross-generational spectrum of our demographics here in Aiken. So we realized that we would love to host and sponsor an event with like this. Secondly, these are very tough economic times for a lot of businesses, and we realized that businesses have a hard time growing their customer base and maintaining their customer base in these economic times. So this is a second opportunity for us to meet another strategic goal in meeting those. Our solution, Aiken Young Professionals, if you're not familiar, we are an entity of the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce, and it was actually created by Tom Young approximately 4 years ago, and we, to date, have about 220 members of Young Professionals between the ages of 22 and 39 years of age. We're always looking for areas to serve, and we have people from every walk of life and every background within our group, so we have a very large, diverse demographic. As young professionals and families, we understand that there is a need to provide activities that deliver quality entertainment, food, social atmosphere, and engage the growing population and demographic that we have in our community. With that, we also understand the importance of engaging the cross-generational audience to achieve both the strategic goals of the city, the chamber, and AYP. So our idea was we wanted to host a Fifth Friday event, which is a recurring event. There's 4 to 5 Fifth Fridays a year, depending on which year it is. And with that, we've already begun to plan and set out groundwork for July 29th, which is the first Fifth Friday for this quarter. And we're looking at continuing to go into... with this event, it's going to be a free event open to the public, no charge whatsoever. We would like to host it right here in downtown Aiken, and we've met with public safety officials to get the streets shut down, and we'd like to put in entertainment for kids to include cornhole games, some inflatables, family-oriented games that mom and dad can go against sister, brother, daughter, son, grandpa, you name it. We want to get everybody involved. Secondly, we want to have live entertainment to draw multiple different generations in there. And with that, we're keeping it very family-oriented music because we understand our diverse nature and also our conservative nature here in Aiken, and we want to maintain that historic conservative nature here. So we're looking at different ways to do that. And by doing that, our first band that we would like to bring in is Anybody's Guess. If you're familiar with them, they do different gigs here in Aiken, and they are very well-rounded band as far as from what they produce. Our time frame that we're looking at is 6 to 10 p.m., and 6 to 8 being very family-oriented, 8 to 10 moving into more of a social for our young professionals, because in our group we have a lot of young professionals that have moved from California, Colorado, New York to take jobs at SRNS and some of our engineering firms, and a lot of times they are lacking in opportunities or places to come and go because they don't know people. So we really want to promote, you know, the growth of them to come down and socialize and meet new people as well.
One more.
Our partnerships are very important to us. We've already partnered with 9 businesses here right in the alley. And with partnership, what we're pretty much saying is they have signed on to help us monetarily. Aiken Young Professionals is putting about $2,200 of our own money into this event. And our 9 businesses are each putting in $100 to assist us with advertising and entertainment costs. In addition to that, we've met with the Department of Public Safety and to finalize a few public safety and security issues. And we also have partnered with the Aiken Downtown Development Association to make sure that our local merchants are on board, because we're requesting that all of them stay open until 8 p.m. to provide more shopping and retail experience for people who come out and eat dinner and enjoy the evening. And lastly, our important issues, as Mr. Pierce already stated, we did meet with the city manager's office as well as our president of the chamber, Mr. Jameson, to ensure that we're on track to provide an exceptional entertainment and recreational and social experience that meets the strategic goals of the city, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Aiken Young Professionals. And we believe through this program that we'd like to put on that we'll definitely meet all three entities' goals and that we'll promote Aiken in a very positive light for future growth and tourism. Thank you.
So thank you very much. Thank the whole team here and those that are not here. It sounds very worthy to me. And we'll see what comments we have from council.
I just think it's a wonderful idea, and I'm just so sorry it couldn't have happened 20 years ago when I was a young professional. I just think I don't see anything wrong with this, and I just applaud you for being so brilliant enough and thoughtful enough to try to work to keep our young professionals in Aiken, because I think they need that.
So, and let me just say, I remember when this young man was born. So it dates me quite advanced here, but it's a brilliant idea. Thankful to Tom, but thank the chamber as well for picking this up and pulling the team together. And you've got how many volunteers?
220
members.
Yes, ma'am. 220 members.
And I see that expanding with this kind of participation. We've had this niche that was not being addressed. Well, it was being addressed, but no one was doing anything actively to create a venue for the young professionals. So I'm happy that your group has picked this up and are doing something actively to keep those young professionals here. Got several in my household, and they leave town to enjoy activities. And here you bring it right here in the city of Aiken, and that's good. Sean?
So it's very appropriate, certainly. And you list here some neat needs from the city. And could you allude on those a little bit?
Yes, sir.
What your thoughts are.
Yes, sir. As far as our needs from the city, public safety is the biggest need.
Right.
Normally, officers the entities are charged to have officers, and we don't have the financial capability to pay for the amount of officers that we would need. So law enforcement is one of the biggest. Secondly is our infrastructure with the assistance of the permitting, which public safety has already assisted us in doing, as well as the Downtown Development Association. And long-term, we'd like to see if there's any way the city can assist us with providing some type of entertainment trailer that can be used at multiple locations across Aiken, that we could, you know, put on other events in different places, because downtown we feel has a really good niche, and sometimes it's underutilized, but we don't want to forget about our businesses and other parts of the community, and we don't want to forget about other residents in other parts of the community who may not have the opportunity to make it downtown. So that's one of the long-term goals we'd love to look at, is possibly partnering with the city to get some type of portable entertainment trailer that we can go and put on similar events in other places to promote other businesses as well.
And on that item, of course, in the second round of 1 cent sales tax, we have a mobile stage that's a listed project item, and we're in the process of developing specifications for that mobile stage. We visited over at Fort Gordon 2 weeks ago and looked at the affordable stage they have. It's quite impressive, so we're encouraged that we'll be able to get that hopefully before the second Fifth Friday event, just depending on availability, so that we can realize that. And we would consider this, since it's in your strategic plan, kind of jointly sponsored by the city, so that we can provide those items as we would in a jointly sponsored event.
And we did have one of those portable stages come by the park on Newbury, and it was really wonderful. I mean, it's an ideal item for something like this, and I know it might come across wrong. Here we are spending all this kind of money, but this is money already approved for a specific project, and it would certainly enhance the local economy, so I'd love to see us buy it.
Right. And I know we all feel that we want to help our businesses, promote our businesses, and help the young people as well, and families, for that matter. So it looks like it all fits together really, really well, I think. So
this is money well spent right here in this area, with our businesses, and I think that we owe the citizens the protection of having our public safety available to be on hand to help out here.
That's right. Any other comments? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this request from the Aiken Young Professionals.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Selvin. Thank all of you very much.
Thank you.
Under old business, we have appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We do have five pending appointments, but at last meeting, Councilmember Ebner recommended Judy L. Sennett to be appointed to the Community Development Committee to fill the position vacated by Joan Schischler. It would expire September 2nd, 2012. So this is for council's consideration is approval of Judy Sennett to the Community Development Committee.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. Passes unanimously. And are there any other renominations for next meeting? Anybody have any? Okay. Item 2 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance for holding a redistricting referendum. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Council will recall at the last meeting that we've had a presentation by Jim Holly, who's again here with us tonight. He went through our redistricting process, and of course you've had a prior presentation by Bobby Bowers in detail about the U.S. Census, the report of the numbers and the approaches that can be taken with the districting plan, and council approved on the first reading the following ordinance, which is an ordinance calling a referendum pursuant to South Carolina Code Section 5-15-30 on the question of whether the method of election for city council should be changed from four members elected from single member districts and two members elected at large to six members elected from single member districts and the mayor elected at large. Mr. Holly is here and has some follow-up comments for council's consideration, but this is second reading for a referendum to be held on the question of whether we should change to a 6-1 districting plan. Jim?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'll be glad to address any questions you may have, but I just had a couple of brief remarks. We've had several meetings where we've discussed this and at least two public hearings so far. And I think we've gone through the material pretty well several times to help educate the public and council as to the issues. There was some discussion at the last meeting about the ability of the city to retain some form of retain the existing plan, whether that was an option or not. And just wanted to discuss that briefly. I think we've covered it, but maybe just put a little bit more information before you. Most city councils, county councils, school districts, local governments in the South and other places regulated by the Voting Rights Act have gone to single-member districts rather than other types of plans. Because of the practicality of it and the legal issues involved. That has been found to be the best way to comply with one person, one vote, as well as the Voting Rights Act in most situations. And again, those are the result of the one person, one vote requirement, the Voting Rights Act, and census results and population trends has brought that about. And just like in the, you know, the General Assembly of South Carolina and other state legislatures across the South, legislators are elected from single-member districts, and that is how legislatures are elected. Similarly, you know, the city council is a legislative body itself. The city used the 421 plan as a transition from the at-large system that existed before roughly 1988 to where we're going toward at this point, it appears, toward a single-member district plan. And because of the city's population figures back in 1988 as well as after the 1990 census and the 2000 census, there weren't enough changes in the eyes of the Justice Department that required moving away from the 421 plan. Also, during those preclearance submissions to the Justice Department, the 421 plan had the support of the minority leadership of the city and the community. So for those two reasons, we were able to retain the 421 plan for approximately 24 years. I thought about adding you had excellent legal representation, too, but I didn't want to.
That wouldn't be self-serving at all.
I won't say that. But those really are the factors, other than the last one I said, that enable the city to continue the 421 plan for up to 24 years. In the meantime, many other jurisdictions had gone to single-member district plans. Because of the change in the census numbers after the 2010 census, as a practical matter, I think Mr. Bowers and I, Bobby Bowers and I, agree that 421, retaining that is not a viable option if council wishes to obtain the preclearance by the Justice Department, comply with one person, one vote, and comply with other applicable state and federal laws. So that's why we, I think, are at the point we are today with second reading of a ordinance calling for a referendum for the voters to decide whether or not the election method should be changed from 421 to 6-1, but the mayor continue to be elected at large. And under the applicable state laws, there can only be one question on the ballot, and that question is stated in the ordinance. So I wanted to clarify those points, hopefully shed a little bit more light on where we've been and where we are today. And of course, if you have questions now or later, I'd be glad to answer them.
Jim, you might touch on the fact that going in here to the November election,
right.
Three spots on council. You take it from there, if you will.
Thank you, sir. The established election schedule for the city of Aiken has set an election on November 8th, which is the standard municipal election date for the city elections every 2 years. And at this election, seats, if I recall correctly, 1 and 3 are up for election, as well as the position of mayor. The business mission of mayor, again, has been elected at large and can continue to be elected at large regardless. And districts 1 and 3, in my opinion, do not present any significant legal risk with regard to the one person, one vote rule or the Voting Rights Act requirements as far as proceeding with the election this last cycle. As long as the Justice Department knows, because of this ordinance being passed, assuming it is, that the city is doing what it can to move toward a new method of election that would be acceptable, we believe, to the Department of Justice under the Voting Rights Act. So it seems prudent to move forward with the election as scheduled. It's impossible to get a new system in place prior to November 8th based on the fact that we have to have a referendum in order to change the method of election. And I think council has chosen the general election date for the referendum in the hopes that will bring out a larger number of voters than usually happens when you have a separate date for referenda or special elections. So my advice to you has been, if you wish to go forward with the election scheduled November 8th, I don't see any significant legal risk to that. And we did the same thing in 2003 when after the 2000 census and encountered no problems when we did that.
Does council have any comments?
Could you elaborate a bit, please, on what happens if the referendum is rejected? what do we do then? Are we, is that a mandate if it's rejected, or can we still legislative signature?
If the referendum fails under state law, you could not take any council action to legislate a different, excuse me, let me back up. If the referendum fails, then council could, if it so chose, draw a 421 plan, that is, redistrict the four existing four districts, and submit that to the Justice Department. I think it, both Mr. Bowers and I agree, there's very little chance it will be pre-cleared. Okay, now that you can do that and see what happens, but it'd be very little chance it would be pre-cleared. Or you could do nothing and see who sued you first. whether somebody sued the city based on the one person, one vote requirement, where the four districts have to be roughly equal in population, or sued under the Voting Rights Act. If a 421, if the referendum fails, you choose to submit a 421 plan, and the Justice Department fails to approve that, then you're left with a situation where either City Council could choose to file a lawsuit to ask the courts to draw a district, draw a plan for the city of Aiken, or wait until some other group sued the city for those reasons. I would, if you submit a 421 plan to the Justice Department and it does not approve it, another thing that likely could happen is the Justice Department would not pre-clear any more residential annexations for the city of Aiken. That's what happened, I believe, in Rock Hill when it failed to develop a plan and submit a plan to the Justice Department that the Justice Department believed was consistent with the Voting Rights Act. So
may actually wind up going to a single-member district.
That's my understanding, correct. So, again, if the referendum fails, if council chooses to submit a 421 plan, doing the best it can, expect the Justice Department not to pre-clear it, then you're left with the options of leaving things as they are, having no annexations, and waiting on a lawsuit by Justice Department, or someone under the one person, one vote requirement of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, or city itself filing a lawsuit saying we need a court to help us draw a plan.
So if you do a 421, let's say, assuming the referendum is rejected, if we draw a 421, we have to do some major surgery on the district boundaries and so forth, right?
Right. Yes, sir, you would. And the biggest, there would be, as we know, District 4, I think it is heavily overpopulated. And so those persons would have to be allocated among the other four districts to bring it to a number of, I think it's around, it's 6,000 something, as I recall. And then the other difficult choice is between the two minority districts, 1 and 2. One of those districts, you can create one district that has the population numbers of minority voters and voting age population to comply with Justice Department requirements. But the second district, whether 1 or 2, you would not be able to create such a district. Its numbers would be well under 40% probably minority population and voting age population, and Justice Department's guidelines are basically above 55% for those two criteria. So you would have one district. You might could bring down the numbers in one of those two districts a little bit, right at 55. You might could raise the other one, a few percentage points, maybe get it a little bit over 40, 45, but you're still faced with a non-conforming district. So, if that happens, council just has to make a decision whether or not at that point it needs to at least exhaust all remedies before it allows a court to decide what the districts are going to look like. And that, and if a court does it, that it will be the compliance with the one person, one vote requirement and the Voting Rights Act will be maximized, brought as close as possible to those requirements. Whereas if you do it within acceptable parameters, there is some degree of discretion.
So all that leads us to believe that eventually we're going to be a 6-1, there's no doubt about it, with 30% minority, and we want to try to hold our minority districts, two of them. We may skim by this time, but who knows what happens in the next election cycle.
I believe it's fair to say that after the 2000 census, I was somewhat surprised that we were allowed to retain the 421 at that time. And I think Mr. Bowers would tell you the same thing. I think he was surprised too. So I guess one way of looking at it, we got another 10 years out of that particular plan. And just the numbers have changed because of the growth and annexation such that we just don't see, based on our experience, how the Voting Rights Act and one person, one vote requirements can be complied with without going to a single member plan.
By the way, Jim has mentioned Mr. Bowers' name a number of times. He works with the state. He's excellent on these kinds of things. He works at the state level. He's worked for other states, right, Jim. And you've worked with him.
Yes, sir.
And
about
you've worked
years
with us personally for the,
yes,
how many times? Three? Four?
This is the fourth
time. So we're getting good information from these folks. That's for sure. I mean, I think we're getting the best we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
I just have a question. I think you know,
yes,
what it is. I understand you have to submit a packet to the Justice Department for approval. Mr. Bowers, at our request, gave us a sample 6-1 plan, which is just a sample.
Right.
And I assume that will not be in any documents you submit to the Justice
Correct.
Department?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And we're not asking them to pre-clear any plan. All they would be pre-clearing this cycle is whether we can have a referendum on November 8th on the question that in the ordinance. That would be the only thing. And we would start, along with whatever city staff could assist me, would start working on that later this week.
Okay.
Assuming
Thank you.
The ordinance passes.
Can I have a question,
yes,
for you? This is a little bit off the beaten path. Given your experience in working with Mr. Bowers, and given the knowledge of the growth of our city, 25 years ago we were around 15,000-16,000, and now we're almost 30,000, so we're continuing to grow. At what point do you decide if 7 members are enough and you increase the number? And I know Charleston just went through some reductions, but I don't know how other municipalities are working that based on growth, the large ones.
Right. I don't think that's necessary to comply with the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for the one person, one vote. That being said, it's really a policy decision on what council and the citizens think is best for the city of Aiken. And I think if you add members, you might have to have a referendum on that.
Right, I know that. But I'm just wondering what are other municipalities doing in the state as they
I haven't researched that,
okay,
and I'd hate to misstate it, because it really does become a policy issue, and it only becomes a legal issue when you need to have smaller units of population,
right,
which is not the case with where the city is now. Now, maybe someday that could change.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. Anyone in the audience have any comments here? You may certainly make them. If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this on second reading, and that calling for the referendum pursuant to South Carolina Code 51530. For the 6-1 plan.
Okay. We have a second? Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for all your help with us. Item 3, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to modify the annexation and site plan for 2352 Whiskey Road, proposed Cracker Barrel site. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to amend ordinance 12132010 to delete the annexation of 0.35 acre at 2352 Whiskey Road and modify the concept plan to omit this tract. This is on second reading. It's an ordinance to modify an ordinance, and that's the reason for the two readings. You do have in your materials a letter from Jefferson Murray. There was a 0.35 acre tract that was originally thought to be included in the tract to be annexed and to be subject to the concept plan. However, the family that owns that tract of land decided they did not want to sell it. They would lease it, however. So that's the reason for omitting it from the annexation and the concept plan. That was approved by City Council on first reading at your last meeting, and this is the second reading for approval tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing, so if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance to modify the annexation and site plan at 2352 Whiskey Road, proposing the Cracker Barrel site.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Pass this unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to abandon and relocate a portion of the Athol Avenue right-of-way. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is related to the purchase of land by Jefferson Murray's group, Murray Brothers Land Development, LLC. Athol Avenue runs adjacent, immediately adjacent to this property, and it's going to be necessary to move Athol Avenue to better align it. This is the ordinance to actually close the existing right-of-way and then move it to adjacent to the new tract. We will give up a portion of the George property tract in order to accomplish that. This is, it's kind of a three-legged stool. City Council votes to abandon this right-of-way. We then submit that to Aiken County Council, since it is a county road, to get their approval of the abandonment, understanding that the road will be moved. It won't be closed. It's just the location of it's being moved. And then we'll get an appropriate court order approving the closing of the right-of-way. And that gives us the three legs to the stool. This was approved on first reading at your last meeting, so for consideration tonight is the second reading and approval of the ordinance.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes.
You make a motion?
I'm sorry.
Motion.
We have a motion. Yeah, we need a motion.
No, this is the... Mr. Mayor, I made the earlier motion, but I'm going to make a motion to, with this ordinance, to abandon the and relocate a portion of Athol Avenue right away. And the cost for this Murray Brothers land is a total cost of $38,850.10.
Yeah, that'll be our next item.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just going to do the roadway okay. Right now.
Okay, do we have a second? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second, okay. Okay, now, any discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to sell 7,480 square feet to Murray Brothers Land Development, LLC. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving the sale and conveyance of a portion of the property owned by the City of Aiken, located on Oak Grove Road and Athol Avenue, to Murray Brothers Land Development, LLC. As part of the developer's agreement that we signed with Murray Brothers for the location of the proposed restaurant, we agreed to sell this land for them to complete their tract and in order for them to be able to develop the tract appropriately. As a council will recall, when you approved the George Tract purchase, we did mention at that time that we would be selling a portion of it, and that's on a prorata basis. So we took our square footage cost in purchasing the land, and that's what Murray Brothers is buying, the 7,480 square feet. So for consideration tonight is the second reading and approval of that sale of that land.
Okay, this is the second reading. Public hearing, if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of this on second reading.
Okay. I'll second it. Any discussion?
Just a kind of a side discussion. If either Mr. Pierce or Mr. Marsh could kind of give us an update on the progress of the when are they coming and are we able to meet their requirements? I know they've delayed it some because they were going to start in May, and May is coming gone. Do you have an update on that?
The update is, of course, they're waiting the council action tonight on the 0.35 acre tract, which you have approved, the moving of the right-of-way, which you've also approved, and the sale of the square footage, which you've also approved. And as far as I know, Mr. Morris, we're all out to bid on the road work that was going to be necessary for continuing Eastgate across Whiskey Road. Is that correct? Okay, he's saying yes, since the tape recorder won't take that down.
Someone in the
Mr. Burry's here and has a comment.
Cracker Barrel is also pushing really hard to open on Halloween for some reason. So that's the projected opening, so they're pushing real hard for it.
Okay. So that's.
And this includes dealing with our famous State Department of Transportation about getting all these lights changed?
My understanding from emails I've received from Mr. Morris is we do have all those approvals in hand at this time. So we're ready to go forward. It's permitted.
So we don't need any outside help to get the red lights working there?
Not at this time, no, sir.
All right, thank you.
We can hold that in reserve.
I will, because that sounds like a stretch, but I know we're working on it.
Is the traffic light a showstopper for the opening of Cracker Barrel?
The relocation of it is critical there, because I think the bunkers house the communications going to the site, and we're on top of the bunkers, if I'm not mistaken. So there is some critical work to do there.
Right.
You'd probably open it with a dirt road, but we probably don't want to do that.
Well, I guess that's what I'm asking. I mean, is it likely that we would have a brand new restaurant there with no traffic lights?
It's certainly the hope that not happen. I mean, I can't sit here and guarantee you. The hope is to have everything in place and ready for opening.
We will issue a level of certificate of occupancy, whatever it's called, without
it would be a certificate of occupancy, right?
We'll have without the yellow signs of
it. Yeah, we're just going to have to follow this closely, and
we will. We'll be following it closely.
They're on a timeline, and they're making that timeline. If not, I don't see that we could possibly open the restaurant. Or get it approved, for that matter.
And again, we stay on good top traffic. Of that.
The engineering's all done. The contracts are ready to sign, or they have been signed, ready to sign. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Is the opening of the restaurant contingent on the we talked about how the traffic is going to look on Eastgate and Whiskey there.
Right.
Is it going to be contingent on the opening, you know, when that the engineering development is finished?
I hope so.
Now, the engineering is all done. We're just ready to go do the work and get the installation put in. So you've got July, August, and all of September and October, full 120 days. So hopefully we've got a good contractor that'll get the installation in place. We'll keep you posted.
Well, very little happens on time with the government.
Mr. Mayor, I should have asked this question in the earlier motion, but the billboard is on the property. There are some conditions that we made, and I'm wondering, with the removal of that billboard, does it go somewhere else?
Not in the city.
It's just taken down totally.
That was negotiated between the developer and the billboard company.
Right. Yeah. Okay,
the city was not involved in that discussion.
Yeah.
Excuse me, would you come up to the mic, please, and speak so we can get it? No, that's okay. I should have asked you the first time, but you were up and talking.
Sorry. My name is Jefferson Murray, landlord at the site. Cracker Barrel entered into agreement. Well, actually, I did.
Okay.
Murray Brothers Land Development with Insight Media. We are buying the billboard. The billboard company retains that steel, and they're going to take it somewhere else in America, but not
on your site.
Right. It's not ours. I don't know what they're going to do with
it. But it's gone.
As soon as everything's approved tonight and the balls get started in motion, they will then, as part of the development agreement, exercise the option to pay the balance of what's left to buy the billboard, and they'll remove it during construction and it's gone.
Okay.
So we can't basically open without that billboard being gone for the development agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My concern was that it was going to move and then relocate somewhere else in the city.
Not here.
Jefferson. Mr. Murray, please restate your goal opening date for Cracker Barrel.
October 31st is Cracker Barrel's goal, and It'd be good for overtime for construction because they're going to be working 7 days a week.
Thank you.
Now, Jefferson, while you're there, you're very interested in getting this Cracker Barrel going as quickly as possible, right?
Well,
you have some contacts with DOT as well? Because if we don't meet the date, you don't meet your opening.
Well, now,
Cracker Barrel, they're professional developers.
Right.
And if they need any assistance, I'll help them. But they're very good at what they do. They open many restaurants a year.
Oh, sure, sure.
And Mayor,
I understand. I stop at one every time I see it.
Just to be clear for the record, DOT is not doing this installation. We have a contractor that's doing the installation.
Okay. Well,
so we're not on their timeline. We're on our timeline
with
our contractor.
Well, we need DOT's approval.
That's right. They permitted it. Right. They reviewed the plans and approved it. And we've
so they're still in it.
They're still in
it. They haven't approved it yet.
Yes, they've permitted it.
They haven't approved it.
We have the permit.
Basically, as I interpret it, our agreement is us, I call me being Cracker Barrel, we have to hold our end of the agreement, and so does the City of Aiken, per your development agreement. We're going to all do it at the same time together.
Right.
And there's about 120 days in the agreement, and I think city manager is on top of that.
You're very kind, Jefferson, but I have to give Larry Morse a lot of credit and other staff, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, any other comments? If not, we've got a motion and second. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 6, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend City Code Section 22-10 regarding the offense of public indecency. Mr. Pierce.
And the title of this ordinance is simply an ordinance amending the city code regarding public indecency. Gary Smith and their city solicitor, Ben Moore, have worked on this. A recent inquiry and letter we received revealed that our existing city code is not in compliance with federal and state law. And Gary has done an excellent job of providing us a more detailed and complete code section that better reflects the existing law in our country today regarding these type of codes. You approved this on first reading at your last meeting, and for tonight the action is approval on second reading so we can modify the city code regarding public indecency law.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Move for adoption, Mr. Mayor, of this ordinance to revise the city code on the offense of public indecency.
Okay. Second. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. On the new business, first reading of an ordinance to advance capital sales tax funds by reserve fund loan for the SPCA jointly owned shelter construction. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of this ordinance is an ordinance authorizing borrowing from the City of Aiken's general fund reserve accounts as outlined in the ordinance for the purpose of funding the city-owned animal control space to be constructed at the proposed SPCA building. At the general election back in November of last year, the voters approved our capital sales tax project monies. Included in that was up to $1 million to build the city-owned portion of the proposed SPCA center, where ground was broken on May 19 of this year. In speaking with representatives from the SPCA, the SPCA board, and the construction committee, it's anticipated that these draws would begin to take place this fall. And we have signed a memorandum of understanding with the SPCA. And for your consideration tonight is first reading of an ordinance to allow us to advance that commitment on the capital sales tax list and then reimburse ourselves when those funds come in. We do have sufficient reserve funds to cover advancing these monies.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move, Mr. Mayor, that we advance the funds from our reserve funds for the SPCA.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay, discussion? Okay, all right. Show of hands, all in favor? Passes unanimously. Thank you, Barbara. Chuck? Barbara Nelson's here. She's led the team out there, all the good work for the spay-neuter program and also the new SPCA building. It's a wonderful thing, and it's first class.
Yeah, the groundbreaking ceremony was very, very well done.
Right. So thank you very much.
Go ahead. And Barbara, the city clerk does have the signed memorandum of understanding, so you can take a copy with you tonight if you would like.
Yep. Thank you. Okay. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding the location of manure containers. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. It's simply entitled an ordinance amending paragraph 3.3.21.4 of the zoning ordinance. A longer story shortened, the existing ordinance requires that manure containers be at least 25 feet from any property line. The Equine Committee became aware of this legal requirement, met and discussed it at length, and of course talked with several folks who live in the RSS and HD and RSH zones, and it was determined that that requirement in many cases, particularly with properties that are close together, made a requirement that would have a manure container right in the middle of somebody's front yard. So after that discussion by Equine Committee, they made a recommendation to the Planning Commission that they review that and delete the requirement for the minimum setback. That has been reviewed by Planning Commission. Both the Equine Committee and the Planning Commission have recommended deleting the 25-foot setback requirement for these covered manure containers, and that is for your consideration tonight on first reading. It is an ordinance modification, so it will require two readings.
Okay, thank you, sir. So we have a motion and a second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a question. The first paragraph in this ordinance regulates the maintenance of manure piles for pleasure stables located in the city of Aiken, and I'm a little bit confused. When you go back to the minutes of the Equine Committee, I quote, "It was stated by members of the committee that this only applies in residential areas, not in the horse district, which is a commercial district." I'm kind of confused. Where does this ordinance apply to?
My understanding is that it would be in the RSH, RSS, and HD districts. Mr. Evans is here, may be able to clarify that. Yeah. Mr. Duarte.
Yeah.
Again, the wording says in residential zoning districts, so it could be in any residential zoning district, including, say, RS-15, if they've gotten a special exception to have horses, would not apply in HD because that's a commercial zone, not a residential zone.
Even though there are residents there with horses?
Correct.
How do we square that with, I have a residential, a horse district in my area. In my district in Hounds Lake North, so they have to comply with it, but the people over in the horse district don't.
Correct. I think the thinking is that it's a commercial horse district, and they just didn't want to get into regulating commercial horse operations.
And if it's helpful, because certainly you worked with the Planning Commission, but Mr. Beedenbow and myself met with the Equine Committee, and that was the Equine Committee sentiment that it should be in residential areas, not in the commercial areas. And there were several representatives from commercial operations who were present, at least at the Equine Committee meetings.
Well, I don't know all of them. What are we gaining out of this? I mean, we're just regulating a very small portion of the city of Aiken. Why do we need it? It's not going to apply to the horse district, where most of the issues would generate. We're only going to talk about residential areas where you have a minor exception where a horse is allowed, or in my case, down the street, there's only one that has horses. I mean, is it worth the effort?
I mean, well, the Equine Committee certainly felt it was, and that's why they made the recommendation they did.
Didn't this come up because there was a complaint filed and hadn't been one in 13 years, and my numbers may be a little off, but I think it started with this, and no one had ever raised the issue for 13 or 15 years by the fence.
They had not, Mr. Ebner. It is a good point, and that's why the Equine Committee meets.
I thought that was where it really started from.
That's exactly right. It originated there.
And this happened a year or two ago. Working through the system for
that's
a year.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know the people on the Equine Committee, but, for example, Carol McElwee, Bill Musselwhite, Jeff Wilson, are they people that this would apply to? I mean, who in the minutes here would this apply to?
Well, let's see. Lucy Knowles is in a residential area. Courtney Conger, Jack Wetzel, Lisa Handy, Carol McElwee. Now, Bill Musselwhite and Jeff Wilson are on staff. You know, they work with our
Well, they're in HD, aren't they? Lucy and Jack?
I'd have to look at the map. I couldn't tell you.
I think Lucy's
RS-15.
RS-15.
Okay.
You talking about where Lucy lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's on 2-9.
Right.
Near that area you're describing, Mr. Dwyer, but I think she's down where it's RS-15.
So it would apply. Go ahead.
If, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last sentence that says covered containers shall not be required in RSH, RSS, and HD districts, that's in the existing ordinance and has been for many years. That's not a change.
Since correct. 1999.
The change is the underlying language and the struck through language.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
the vast majority of this language has been in the zoning ordinance since the zoning ordinance was redone.
And essentially we're changing the 25 feet to the 50 feet?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That was brought up because of complaint.
The 50-foot requirements is from a pool, patio, or other recreational structure. The 25-foot requirement was from a property line. So many times these containers are actually, you know, closer to the line because they're more convenient for the service that comes in and, you know, dumps the dumpster.
Well, I hesitate to go against what the Equine Committee wants to do, but it looked as though they were exempt and everybody else was not. So, but it sounds okay. I'll support it.
Have you had any problems, Dick, in your area that you know of?
No. I don't think
we've had any reports.
I don't think
lately.
He even knows it.
I don't know if it helps or not, but I think most of the people that live in the HD district and in those districts, they know that there's a likelihood that horses will be there, and I think that's part of the reason why they want to live there.
Yeah.
And you got people that live in the residential districts that really don't want to live next door to a horse.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding allowed uses in the planned institutional zone. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you again. The title is an ordinance amending the non-residential district use table at paragraph 3.1.6 of the zoning ordinance regarding allowable uses in the planned institutional zone. Council will recall from our joint meeting with the Planning Commission that as far as government facilities were concerned, there were some not permitted uses in for government facilities in the planned institutional zone. It just wasn't permitted. And instead, the proposed change will allow it if a concept plan is approved by City Council. That is information is contained on page 116 of your agenda packet in that use table there. It shows that modification. And there's two arrows to the right-hand side that show that change. That was brought up in anticipation of the proposed county complex construction over on the 118 bypass. So instead of it not being permitted at all, it would be permitted with a concept plan approved by City Council. This is an amendment to the zoning ordinance that will require two readings. This is first reading of that ordinance and we'll bring it to the record.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? Second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, for approval. Passes unanimously. Item 4, resolution to ratify existing mutual aid, agreements and authorize entering into additional agreements. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you so much. This is a resolution entitled a resolution authorizing the Aiken Department of Public Safety to enter into multi-jurisdictional mutual aid agreements with other local law enforcement agencies and to ratify existing agreements. Our ever alert city solicitor let us know at our department director's meeting that South Carolina Supreme Court has issued an opinion that these mutual aid agreements, which we've had for many years, did require action by city council to be approved. We have included in your packet a list of all of our existing mutual aid agreements. We have some existing. We have some that we need to renew. So to clean up everything and comply with the direction of the South Carolina Supreme Court, we've asked you to ratify, that is, go ahead and approve what's already in existence and authorize public safety to pursue these mutual aid agreements. I provided the example in your packet that these mutual aid agreements can be tremendously helpful to us as well as to other jurisdictions as far as marshaling assets that are needed in emergency situations. The Graniteville train wreck is just the glowing example of how many multi-jurisdictional agencies can come together and get things done. So that's there's just one reading on this, Mayor, but it's approval of that resolution to allow public safety to pursue what they have been doing all along, which are these mutual aid agreements.
Okay, do we have a motion second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the resolutions to the resolutions contained in our packet for the existing mutual aid agreements and authorize entering into additional agreements. But I have a question on the authorize entering into
I do too.
Additional agreements, but I'll move that we approve
it. It's the ones that are on the list that you provided.
I approve the ones that are included in our packet.
Right.
That's the motion.
Right.
Okay. Do we have a second for that?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Across state lines, since we're so close to Georgia, do we have a separate agreement for them? We don't bother to enter into an agreement with Georgia.
Ms. Price, I'm not aware of any agreement with anything outside of South Carolina because the statute that authorizes the mutual aid agreement is a state law. So we've kept that within the boundaries of the state of South Carolina.
I do know that with the train wreck, there were folks that tried to get assistance over in Georgia related to health care, so just wondered about.
Yeah, this would just be the law enforcement agencies, yes.
The question I have is that all future agreements, it's approval by the council, not the director of public safety.
We would bring them to you based on the Supreme Court decision. That is correct.
Okay, so they would come back for council approval.
You bet.
Yeah, okay.
I got a question.
Sure.
How the on-scene commander determined, or the officer in charge, I guess, as they refer to him? Is it a geographical type situation, or is it an expertise type situation?
It depends on where the event occurs, and the state law sets that out as far as like whether the state runs it or, you know, whether a county official runs it or the city official runs it. So it's all set up according to state. We just follow the existing statute.
Okay. Any other discussion? We've got a motion and a second. All in favor? Show of hands. Okay, passes unanimously. Under petitions and requests, acceptance of a grant to the Aiken Department of Public Safety by the U.S. Department of Justice. Mr. Pierce, please.
A bit of good news, Council. We've received notification from the United States Department of Justice that they've awarded us under the Edward Byrne Justice Assistance Grant Program $12,800 to purchase new equipment. I've spoken with Chief Fromer, and he indicates that a good portion of this money will be used to purchase rifles for our patrol officers to equip them so they have what they need in the field. These would be a .223 rifle that they would use to replace the shotguns that used to be used in the past.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? I'm sorry, are we finished?
Just to say, Mayor, that we would need council's vote to accept the grant, which Chief Fromer assures me he can spend the money.
in a worthwhile way.
Absolutely.
Okay, we need a motion and second.
I move acceptance of the Aiken Department of Public Safety grant.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, who said that?
Beverly.
Okay. All right. Show of hands, please. All in favor?
I heard you.
Passes unanimously. Okay, that's the all of the items on our agenda.
It is, Mayor. I had just a few things to put in the record based on some questions that came up at the last meeting. One thing is I did pass out an aerial photo of the Beggy's Pond area. We are having it surveyed because this is actually the tax map, and Wise Creek is one of the boundaries. I've met with the attorney that's going to help us with the transaction, and he recommended that we do have a survey done to determine not only the total acreage but the exact boundaries for the tract. In addition, we did have a second appraisal done. As you recall, council approved purchasing the property for $118,000. The second appraisal came in at $122,000. But again, we're going to have to determine the acreage to make sure that, that is correct. We've also taken samples on the site that we're sending to a lab for analysis. We've had a PhD biologist walk the property. And we're also having the property environmentally surveyed just to make sure there aren't any environmental issues there. And the other item is you do have the 2011-2012 budget that Sarah has distributed to you tonight.
Very good. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to extend congratulations again to Richard for his work with the 19th award, the municipal award that we received. Good work on the watershed, the environmental runoff with your staff and pulling all that together again.
You're very, very kind. Larry Moore spent hours and hours and hours in the parkways on this project with a variety of contractors. And I'd like to publicly say that Bill Tucker, Sandy Tucker, and their son Bennett Tucker went with us to Columbia and gave, along with Dion Mealing, gave a very compelling presentation to the judges as to the sustainability of this initial pilot project and how they see us really turning a corner and saving Hitchcock Woods in the long run. So it was a joint effort, public, private, and nonprofit.
Good deal.
For those who may not be aware, each year the Municipal Association of South Carolina, which is made up of all the towns and cities, give awards for certain categories of work, and that's what Leslie and Richard are talking about. And this year the city won the top award, and that's the 19th. We had about 13 straight, but and the credit goes to our staff, certainly, and our employees that come up with ideas and do this work, and we certainly appreciate our whole staff for what they do. And it's been a good ride for us, and it's nice to know that we have employees and staff that are working that diligently to come up with quality projects that we can take each year to the municipal meeting. And I know we're all proud of all of our employees and our staff, and we thank each and every one of them for the efforts that they put in. Okay, we are adjourned.
Very good.
Can I eat dinner?
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad. I just didn't have that. My database, right?
Richard!